In those days, when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went to the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt kindly with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go on your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." They wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me, and the Almighty has brought such calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's a question that's troubled me. It's troubled me since I was a young teenager. A question that I am both ashamed to ask and a question that must be asked. My grappling with this question began with the massacre that took place at Columbine High School in 1999. The 9/11 attacks followed closely on its heels. Then the Amish schoolhouse shooting in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Then Virginia Tech, Sandy Hook, Las Vegas, Orlando, Texas, and Parkland. I'm afraid the list continues to grow. And on a global scale, when we consider the wars, famines, and poverty so prevalent in the world around us, this question continues to come, problematic as it is, to to our Christian ears. Where was God? When Naomi lost everything and everyone dear to her, I'd imagine that she too may have asked this question. After all, she was human. The first five verses in the book of Ruth are so easy to gloss over. We want to get to the good part of the story, the part where Boaz comes sweeping in to save the day. But do we ever really think about what enabled Boaz to save the day? It's Naomi, the seldom talked about figure in the background of the book of Ruth. You see, in those first five verses, Naomi's world crumbles. She becomes a refugee in a foreign land because of famine. She loses her husband and then has to figure out a way to broker marriages for her sons in a foreign patriarchal society, having nothing with which to bargain. She succeeds, which in and of itself is no small feat. Years go by, but there are no children. And then Naomi's sons die. Within 10 years of leaving Bethlehem, Naomi loses everything. Not only does she suffer the utter heartbreak that comes with the death of loved ones, she loses her family line, the means of survival in ancient Near Eastern cultures. Without progeny to inherit her late husband's estate, Naomi's future is grim. In fact, it's non-existent. In essence, she's returning to Bethlehem to die. Surely, she asked, where is God? This past summer, I had the opportunity to complete a unit of CPE at Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital. In early July, a patient came into our emergency department. Her name was Kayla. I met her mom, Doreen, a few days later on an ICU floor, exhausted and upset. As we talked, I learned a little bit about Kayla. But I learned a lot more about Doreen. Doreen's husband was killed in Vietnam, and she was left alone to raise her son, Anthony, who died in Afghanistan in 2007, and her daughter, Kayla. She had no family to support her. No brothers or sisters or aunts and uncles, no parents. She was alone. Now Kayla's life was in jeopardy. To make matters worse, injuries from a car accident had left Doreen disabled and unable to work. She expressed fears about being able to support herself, to pay her bills, and how she would be able to carry on if Kayla were taken from her too. Doreen was a person of deep and abounding faith, talking frequently about God's goodness, expressing the belief that somehow this is all part of God's plan, that God is merely testing her, but that everything will be okay if she has enough faith. Yet, hidden just beneath the surface of these words, I could see she was beginning to question where God was in all of this. Though she dare not utter the words, at least not yet. In the first five verses of Ruth, we don't hear Naomi utter any such doubts or questions either. In fact, Naomi is silent. We are only given information by a narrator who matter-of-factly tells us the quick and dirty of what's happened. The first thing that Naomi says at all is, "Go back." An imperative command given to her loyal daughters-in-law. But as her daughters-in-law persist in trying to remain with her, the condition of Naomi's heart is revealed. Though she asks for God to bless them, she acknowledges the bitterness in her heart because the Lord had turned his hand against her. God had taken everything. Why should two young women be subjected to the same fate as she? I returned to the ICU a few days later. A family meeting had been scheduled where the medical team would tell Doreen that Kayla was indeed brain dead. As the chaplain for the unit, I sat in on the meeting. I listened as the doctors explained their process and their findings. And I held Doreen's hand and made sure that she understood what the doctors had said. After she asked a few clarifying questions, I asked for the room. And almost immediately after the doctors had all left, the floodgates opened, and in her grief, the questions and indictments came, one after another after another. Why is God taking my baby? Where is God? Why doesn't God speak to me? What more must I do? Why is God punishing me? A mother should never have to bury one child, let alone two. After a while, there were no more words. After crying out to a God who had been so silent, who had allowed such suffering to befall her, there was simply nothing more to say. We are not all that dissimilar from Naomi or Doreen, you and I. Every person of faith at one time or another questions whether God is present. We look at heartache, sorrow, and tragedy in the world around us and wonder, where is this God? Why does God allow terrible things to happen? Why all the unrest, wars, and destruction? Why do children suffer and die before their time, rending families apart? As people of faith, we often feel guilty for asking these questions. But what do we do when God can't be heard? When we pray without ceasing, pleading that God would show mercy and receive in return nothing but silence. We want to believe everything that we've been taught about God. But in God's silence, our faith and our hope are shaken. It is a troubling paradox to believe that God is love and at the same time accept that God may be silent in the midst of our suffering. The two seem mutually exclusive. This is precisely where Naomi finds herself as she decides to return to Bethlehem. Struck with the silence of God, she returns to her people, people of faith, people who know God and believe in God. She could have stayed in Moab and died there, but it seems that Naomi found comfort in being among other people of faith, her faith. Why? After reckoning with a God who has remained so silent in Naomi's suffering, after everything that she has endured, why would she return to a people who believed so strongly in the God who had caused her so much grief and anguish? Perhaps Naomi knew something about this God, knew that when her faith was shaken, she could surround herself with others of strong faith until she could again believe for herself. By going home, she was choosing to rely on the faith of her fellow Israelites, rather than cursing God and turning away. The very act of returning to the land of Israel is an act of turning towards God. We do not know why God is silent at times, but when we feel as though God is silent, we can take our pain and sorrow to God, be confident that He hears us, and know that God will be with us. Why? Because our scriptures teach us that God will never leave us nor forsake us. God promises that in the gathering of those who believe, their God will be also, walking with them in love and leading them in faith. God's presence is made known to us in the through the people in our lives who love us, offer us wise counsel, comfort us in our sorrow, and walk with us through the storms of life. So when you experience God's silence, when you wonder, where is God? Turn to your faith community, just as Naomi did. And remember these words and consider these words from Edward Stimley. You don't have to believe in the resurrection today. Your brothers and sisters will believe in it for you until you're able to believe in it again for yourself. Amen.